Live and local. Mornings with Todd Sargent. For our sponsor, Harvey Norman Computers, Rutherford and Bennett's Green.
Always great to catch up with this gentleman, having a chat about education from the University of Newcastle, Professor John Fischetti. Good morning.
Good morning, Todd.
Are you coping with the colder weather?
Yeah, it's a bit breezy. It's a blustery day in the Winnie Pooh world.
Has you got your scarf there? And it's not often that I see you wearing a jacket, so we know that winter has clicked in. Look, this is a bit of a touchy subject talking about this morning, and we've spoken about it before, and I think it's been around for a long period of time. The overarching idea of, are teachers there to educate or are teachers there to teach discipline and instill discipline? But an interesting story, it's been said that teachers are breaching children's human rights by enforcing strong discipline. And what a lot of people are saying is that, the action that teachers take is too strong and it's affecting children. Where do you sit on that? And it's a very interesting topic. We were talking off the air about it this morning. So how do you feel in relation to that story?
Well, Todd, this is one that strikes right at the heart of what you believe. And there's old school and new school beliefs on this. And I come as a parent from an old school belief system that the discipline of children actually starts and stops really at home, with a structure and a process that allows kids to become who they are, but inside of some rules and structures that kids actually need. When they enter a place called school, it's a little bit different, because teachers and school leaders are actually in loco parentis, in place of the parent. And in doing so, we're there to be carers. It's very difficult for a teacher to discipline a child in the way in which the parent would want without total communication with that parent. So on normal day-to-day childish, immature things, it's really important that teachers have a range of flexible skills to adopt to that, so that we're not overstepping our bounds and leading to what this article talks about, which is an overstep of teachers' rights.
But how do you delineate between the two? Because what may be considered acceptable at home, let's take an imaginary situation. The parents at home may consider the kids ripping holes in the lounge, being abusive, using bad language. They may consider that's okay, but at the end of the day, they get to school, and that's not okay. So whilst the parents have got an expectation that what they consider is proper treatment of their children, in a normal society, and I know that's a very hard thing to find, it just might be unacceptable.
Well, that's intolerable. The behavior that you just described is intolerable. Kids can't destroy property, and they can't be abusive to their teachers. It's a little more of the subtle issues that teachers face that I think it gets into, where kids will get up when they feel like, or move around when they would like, or say things off task, and that sort of normal childish things, times about 30, makes the classroom appear disruptive. And then is, what are the punishment consequences for that sort of normal childishness that can be a reflection of children sort of raising themselves?
What do you hear from teachers? Have you got any anecdotal evidence over the last few years where teachers go, it's getting harder and harder, and discipline and student behavior is getting worse? Is it getting worse, or isn't it getting worse?
The stressors on so many families now, I mean, particularly working families or working multiple jobs in multiple situations, quite often leaving their children to put themselves to bed or with carers who may be more babysitters than loving grandparents. In that situation, kids are often just left to their own device, which means they're making immature decisions. A lot of it relates to how much rest the kids are having. Some of the diet they have leaves them extra exuberant. Look at all the sugar that kids have, maybe in lieu of real food. Look at no sleep. Those things can actually calm kids down. So schools that are being proactive are working not just on the disciplinary aspect of things, but on just the overall well-being of children. There's a school in Melbourne, just north of Melbourne. It's Broadmeadow Primary. They realized their kids were in this kind of a situation, coming in kind of all out of control.
Hyped up.
And what they decided, to take the first part of the day and have an appropriate breakfast, because most kids were dressing themselves and getting themselves to school and kind of all unruly, and then starting with meditation or yoga or relaxing or much more of a calming atmosphere. Then about 45 minutes into the day, they start the academics. And while they've crunched that a bit, their performance has gone up, because they've gotten the kids into a new state of understanding rules and procedures and processes. So it may be that schools that have a high percentage of kids that are a bit unruly have to just create new structures and new processes so that kids can kind of get it together in a school context, if home isn't mirroring that. The other part is, for kids even on the other end of the spectrum, very wealthy kids, I find the unfettered access to the internet is the most disruptive thing. Imagine if right now you and I just went anywhere we could on the internet, but we're 7 years old or 12 years old. That's actually changed what normal is. If you just watch Game of Thrones this week, I don't know what normal is. It's out of control in terms of what kids are visualizing. So a lot of it has to do with what kids are taking in, and then just bringing that context of reality into the classroom.
So you say the norm has changed.
It's changed. It's gotten harder. And it's harder in part because we have so many kids with one teacher. Other places have actually lowered class size, giving teachers a little more of a chance to personalize and make a difference with each child.
So, John, where do we meet in the middle? For example, if there is a belief that, you know, the discipline in schools, and this article is saying that a lot of people are saying it's becoming more mamby-pamby. Where do we meet in the middle? Because when those children move through primary school, high school, and out into the workplace, they all might find themselves in a situation where they're dealing with a supervisor that, one, is not going to be as forthcoming with discipline, and they may just go, look, sorry, not good enough, yep, you're fired. And then all of a sudden, this young individual's going, well, where did that come from? Where is the middle ground?
Well, there's schools around Australia that have built in work-integrated learning or business internships or partnerships right into the school day, particularly in secondary. So if I'm coming here to do an internship at 2NUR, and I'm kind of a slacker, on day one, you're going to go get out of here. You're not dressed appropriately, you didn't show up on time, or your behavior's not professional. If I'm serious about this internship with you guys, then I'm going to go back and study harder on the things, the basics, the literacy, the numeracy, because I see those skills. So schools that are actually maybe turning this around a bit are connecting to, I'll put the real world in air quotes, yes, so that the kids can actually see that their behavior has consequences. Then they're more likely to focus on academics. And the other part is that principals have to connect to parents more and the community more so that the norms are consistent. We don't just have a home-based norm and then a school-based norm, because it puts schools always fighting upstream.
Look, I'm not an academic in the area of education, but even I know that children need boundaries. Yeah. And if what's considered normal at home, and then there's no, they get confused. They need that common ground, don't they?
They first need love and care and a smile and a great lesson. Most of the behavior problems we have are for kids being bored. So if we start with it, my guess is two-thirds of any of the disruptions are caused by kids not feeling part of a school where there's something to do that's useful. If we take care of that, then most of the other problems are smaller. They're really crucial, but with home connections and extra resource help, the psychological help, the counseling help, and the extra speech pathology or other issues that kids may be manifesting but can't express why they're frustrated, that actually can narrow down the situation to very few that are at the extreme. Let's have powerful learning, then the consequences are fewer of the other kind of examples you're sharing.
It's great always to put a positive spin on it. Thanks for your time this morning.
2NUR FM 103.7.